Please welcome Miami Mayor and President of the U.S. Conference of Mayors, Francis Suarez.
No standing applause again. Reminded by my father, who's here, that the president and I have something in common. You know, we've both been in politics for about 40 years. And he reminded me that I was 2 years old when I did my first political commercial. I looked directly into the camera and I said, "Vota por papi, por favor." And so the president was reminding me we have something else in common backstage. He said, you know, we both married up. So I have to agree with him on that. Mr. President, honored guest, fellow mayors, ladies and gentlemen, we live in no ordinary time, and this is no ordinary moment. It is an honor to welcome President Biden and so many members of his administration, along with congressional leadership, Speaker Pelosi, and Leader McCarthy. It is a rare occasion that a sitting president attends our midwinter conference, but we know, now more than ever, that if we get our cities right, we'll get our country right. And thank you, Mayor Bowser, for leading the clap. Of course, host mayor always gets a deference. For the past 2 years, mayors have stood on the front line of American democracy. Mayors have carried the heavy burden of economic recovery and social dislocation. Mayors have led on common sense public health measures to save lives and to save livelihoods. We mayors understand the issues at hand. We know that while others posture, we must persuade. While others incite, we must implement. And while others talk, we must deliver. Mayors have stood in the breach between toxic partisanship on both sides to deliver real results for real people. We welcome you warmly and welcome further engagement with you and your administration in the years ahead, Mr. President. And so it is without further ado that I introduce the President of the United States, Joseph Biden.
Hello, hello, hello. It's good to have you all back in person. Mr. Mayor, thank you for your leadership. I appreciate it. And I know one thing, we both did marry up. Mayor Bowser, thanks for hosting us. You're the best. You really are. Thank you for everything you do. I've had the honor of addressing this body many, many times, and I've always had enormous respect for the job you do. Some of you heard me say before, but it's the truth. I ran for the United States Senate in 1972 as a 29-year-old kid because I was a local official and it was too hard. They know where you live. And so you think I'm kidding. It's not a joke. Mayors carry the quality of the people's lives on your shoulders. Everything you do every day affects their lives more than almost anything anybody else does. And you can make or break a person's day. Will the bus get me home on time? It sounds silly, but will the garbage be picked up? Will I be safe walking in the park? These are the bigger questions. Can I afford to give my family a good life? Will my kids have a chance to get a good job someday? How will I rebuild from the fire or the storm? You know, all of these questions, they're not partisan, but they're practical. People you look to are you. They're the people they look to, or you, for real. You know there's no way to walk into the corner drugstore without being accosted immediately as to what's going on, right? Well, so you know what it means to solve real problems, to be held accountable for the people you serve. That's why when I put together my cabinet, I called on former mayors and I mean this sincerely. Take a look. Tom Vilsack was a governor, who's also a mayor. Marsha Fudge, governor. A mayor. Marty Walsh, a mayor in Boston. Pete Buttigieg, a mayor. And I picked Mitch Landrieu to oversee the implementation of the infrastructure law, which is over $1.2 billion, because he knows how mayors get things done. No, I mean it. Not a joke. Because mayors know the measure of success isn't scoring partisan points. It's, did you fix the problem? Did you fix it? Seriously, think about it. Did you fix the problem? The infrastructure law is a perfect example of what we can achieve when we tackle problems the way mayors do. Everybody in America knows we've fallen behind in infrastructure. So we came together, Democrats and Republicans, and did something about it. A number of really brave, and I'm not being facetious when I say, the brave Republicans stood up and joined us in a bipartisan effort to get it done. And by the way, I want to thank you all. More than 360 of you signed a letter sent to me that we were trying to get this legislation passed. 360 of you. You lobbied Congress to get it done. And it's the reason it got done. Not a joke. It's the reason it got done, because of you. There were a lot of people who wanted to vote for it, but they had a lot of pressure not to vote for it for political reasons. But because of you, they voted for it. We got it done. Because they know how it goes in your cities to determine how their states go. And now, after years of dead ends and broken promises, not only has Infrastructure Week finally arrived, but we can literally, because of you, look forward to an infrastructure decade. That's not hyperbole. Back in 2009, when President Obama asked me to lead the recovery effort, which was an $800 billion effort, and the first thing I did, I went to the mayors. Not a joke. Now, most of you are too young to have been around in 2008, but but look, I spoke to over 200 mayors putting that together. Because of them, because of you, we came through that moment together. That's the same approach that Mitch has taken, having been a former mayor, with all of you. I know Mitch has spoken to many of you already. And in just 2 months, we've already seen this law start to make a real difference, creating better jobs, transforming our communities in tangible ways. We've announced billions of dollars for highways, ports, airports, water and sewage systems, high-speed internet, funding to clean up the rivers in Ohio, chemical plants and sites in Florida, polluted lakes in Michigan, and dozens of other sites. A new program to cap and plug orphaned oil and gas wells, spewing methane into the air, cleaning up the communities that, in fact, they're affecting, while good-paying jobs. The folks who dug those wells when we needed them, they got paid well. Well, they're getting paid the same amount to plug those wells. It matters. It matters. A new initiative to bolster our energy grid, with stronger transmission lines and towers to keep the power flowing more reliably and, consequently, more secure energy supply. You know, I've flown all over the world, all over the country this last year, visiting sites that have been damaged by as a consequence of environmental changes. You know, more forest, homes, buildings, businesses have been burned to the ground than make up, if you take in the square miles, than the entire state of New Jersey, from New York all the way down to Cape Henlopen. That's how much is burned to the ground. A lot of it because of the lack of resilience in those towers that get blown over, the wires snap. We got so much we can do with this legislation now. Last week, we rolled out a historic investments in our nation's bridges, like the one I visited in New Hampshire, where restrictions could force school buses and fire trucks to go 10 miles out of their way just to get across a small river. Or the I-10 bridge I visited in Louisiana. It's 20 years past its planned life. It doesn't have modern safety features. And it's last inspected, the bridge is deemed to be in poor condition. And now it has two lanes on the bridge, okay, that a four-lane interstate feeds into, creating and causing major backups. We're going to upgrade thousands of bridges, creating good-paying jobs, cutting commute times, ensuring that as we build back, no community gets to be left behind. Folks, that mayor's view of problem-solving is exactly what we brought to the American Rescue Plan. It's designed so that you'd be able to have the resources and the flexibility to take both the short-term and long-term challenges created by this pandemic. 10 months ago, that law is still carrying the nation forward on vaccines, on boosters, on keeping schools open, and it's still making a difference for communities across the country. And I might add, a lot of money in that to keep those schools open. Some states have spent the money well. Gotten it to y'all so you can, in fact, keep those schools open and change the ventilation system and change the busing and all the whole works. Some states haven't distributed the money. Everything I've done in my career when it comes to federal funding, I've tried to make sure that you don't have to go past go to get it. It goes directly to the mayors, directly to you. I mean it, not a joke. A major part of the rescue plan was the $350 billion we allocated to state and local budgets. And again, because of you, over $100 billion of that went directly to cities and counties, not to anybody. $100 billion. It was not easy to get done, but it's important to get done because you know what's needed. You didn't have to go through your state legislature. They're not bad folks. I don't mean that. Or your governor, good folks, to get the money. Today, communities are still putting those funds to work, keeping people on the job, connecting people to better jobs. In Seattle, the money is being used to give premium pay to local child care workers so they can keep child care centers open and available for folks who need it. Not sure that would have happened if not gone directly to the states. I mean, had gone directly to the states. You know, in Phoenix, partner with community college, these funds are going to help workers find careers in regions and in the semiconductor industry, which is a big, big deal. In Milwaukee, y'all are training workers to get help to get rid of lead pipelines. You have 450,000 schools. I mean, the idea that we have our kids drinking out of fountains that have lead pipes feeding the fountains. Because everybody deserves clean water. Everybody, no matter where you're, city, suburban, or rural areas. Here in Washington, D.C., it's funding the expansion of an infrastructure academy, preparing local workers to take the good-paying jobs in manufacturing, construction, and utilities that are going to be created as a consequence of the infrastructure law. Look, I urge every American to take a look at what y'all are doing. I urge every mayor in America to follow suit, to use the resources, the rescue plan, the resources that were intended, not just to stave off disaster, but to build for a future around the people who make communities run. Use your funds to cover child care costs or temporary paid leave to help certain workers dealing with Omicron. Build pathways to better jobs through union-based apprenticeships and on-the-job training, to give people in every zip code a chance to deal for themselves and deal them into this booming economy. That also means building more affordable housing so people can have safe places closer to their jobs, funding proven programs to help fight violent crime. We shouldn't be cutting funding for police departments. I propose increasing funding. Look, you know, we ask cops to do everything, including be psychologists and social workers. Guess what? They need psychologists and social workers. No, I mean it. Not a joke. So they can hire more social workers, folks trained in mental health, so they can partner with trusted community leaders, like the programs the Rescue Plan is funding in Atlanta and Louisville and other cities across the country. The truth is, we have an incredible opportunity ahead of us this year. We still have a lot of work to do to defeat COVID, to bring down costs for families. But just look at what we've accomplished together so far, even in the face of those headwinds. In 2021, more jobs were created in America than ever in a single year in American history. More jobs, over 6 million. Unemployment rate dropped more than any year in American history. Incomes for working frontline jobs in service industries rose more than any year in history. The folks at the bottom of the economic rung. We lowered child poverty in this country by nearly 40%, more than any time in U.S. history. You all know this. Business applications grew by nearly 30% last year, more than any year in history. If there's something so bad, why are people fighting to open up businesses? More Americans gained health insurance than any year in history. These are facts. To confront the climate crisis, we deployed more solar, wind, batteries, and electric vehicles than ever, ever before. And we're teaming up with mayors, labor, and industry to save families and businesses money by improving energy efficiency in our buildings. And in the battle against the deadly virus, we've gone from putting 2 million shots of vaccinations in people's arms to 210 million Americans fully vaccinated. And you mayors have been critical partners. I'm not trying to be nice to you. It's just a fact. You've been critical partners in that fight from day one, from masking to testing to vaccinations. We partner with you. We partnered with you on the Mayor's Challenge last summer, 115 cities working together to get Americans vaccinated. In Richmond, Mayor Stoney, you created vaccination clinics that doubled the job fair, doubled his job fairs. Get Your Shot is also a job fair, encouraging people to come in. In Detroit, Mayor Duggan, are you here, Mr. Mayor? I tell you what, I worked with him for a long time. There's a man who knows what he's doing. Mayor Duggan partnered with solar saloons and barbershops to get shots in people's arms. In St. Louis, Mayor Jones worked with churches and local food programs to reach neighborhoods with low vaccination rates. All of these efforts, you've saved lives. Not a joke, you've saved lives. Now, to keep up that fight against Omicron, we've launched dozens of federal testing sites in New York, Philadelphia, Henderson, Nevada, and elsewhere, throughout sites that we're launching every week. We've devoted federal medical teams made up of military, first responders, National Guard, to bring relief to the hardest hit hospitals who need additional personnel just to keep it moving because they're so overrun. We're purchasing and distributing free 1 billion at-home tests so people can test themselves in their communities. And we still face tremendous challenges, though. But together, we've proven that we can get big things done in this country. Last year, your help, we laid the groundwork. This year, we have to build it. The biggest weapon in our arsenal is the Build Back Better Act. Nothing's going to do more to ease pressure on families. As my friend Jim Clyburn says, it's all about making everything more affordable and more accessible to people. Every mayor knows that people can't find affordable child care, they can't work. Some of your cities, it's $14,000-$15,000 a year for child care. That's why we have nearly 1.2 million extremely qualified women who haven't been able to return to the workforce. We can cut the cost of child care in half and fix that problem. Health insurance, we can reduce the cost for families we've done for $600 per year. On climate, extreme weather, disaster costs, communities, $145 billion last year. That's how much we spent because of weather-related crises, $145 billion. By investing in resilience and clean energy technology, we can do something about that. To give relief to families in the American Rescue Plan, we had the child care tax credit. That did reduce child poverty by 40%. There's no reason it shouldn't continue. And on education. On education, today about half of the 3 and 4 year olds are enrolled in early childhood education. In Germany, France, UK, Latvia, the number is more than 90%. Where the hell are we? No, I'm serious. We're falling further and further behind the curve. But we can fix that problem. We can do this and more on health care, nutrition, and a host of other issues. And folks, here's the point. We can do it without increasing inflation or the deficit. 17 Nobel laureates in economics wrote a letter to me recently affirming that this bill would reduce inflationary pressures on the economy. Not increase, reduce it. And by the way, it's entirely paid for. Every single penny. And not a single person making less than $400,000 a year will pay a single additional penny in federal taxes. Not a single penny. And by the way, I'm a capitalist. I'm not a socialist. If you can make $1 billion or $10 million, good for you. Just begin to pay your fair share. Pay a little bit. We can pay for all this by just making sure that the wealthy and the biggest corporations pay their fair share. Case in point, last 2 years, 55 of the Fortune 500 companies, and I come from the corporate capital of the world, Delaware, not a joke, more corporations incorporated into my state than every other state in the union. Okay? I get it. And I represented it for 36 years. But guess what? You got 55 corporations last year that made $40 billion in profits and didn't pay a single penny in taxes. That's not right. Look, we can tackle all these challenges just like we did with the rescue plan, the infrastructure law, and the fight against COVID. But we can't do it without you. I'm not trying to be nice to you. We can't do it without you. No, really, that's the God's truth. You understand the challenges people are facing, and you understand the solutions. You know this isn't when it gets down to whether the garbage gets collected or someone is safe in the street. This isn't partisan. It's practical. You understand the cost if we fail to ask. We need the voice of mayors telling the stories of what your communities need and the impact we're making on people's lives or not making. If we can get this done, I believe this with every fiber of my being, if we can get this done, there's no limit what Americans can achieve. So let's continue to give working families a fighting chance. I wasn't kidding when I said, when I announced for president, that I am so tired of the working class and middle class carrying the burden. It's about time we grow the economy from the bottom up and the middle out. And by the way, when the middle class does well, the wealthy do very, very, very well. I'm not joking. This isn't about punishing anybody, but getting everybody in the game. Raise your hand if you think the present tax structure is fair. And we'll take a picture of you and send it home. Seriously, guys. You know. The thing I like about mayors is you're straight. You know what I mean? You shoot from the shoulder. So let's keep investing in the future of every city and town in America. Let's face these challenges head on and keep building. We can build back better. Folks, I really believe it. There's not a damn thing we can't do if we set our minds to it. And every single time, think about this now. This is not hyperbole. No other country than America has come through every crisis we faced and ended up stronger than we were before we got into the crisis. Think about that. So don't give up on the American people. You know, I've said many, many times, to world leaders, particularly when they ask me about America. It's never been a good bet to bet against the American people. Never, never, never been a good bet to bet against the American people. And we stand together. There's not a damn thing we can't do, Democrat and Republican. Thank you all. May God bless you. May God protect our troops. Keep it going, folks. We need you badly. We need you badly.
Oh, where's everybody going? No, I'm just kidding. Let's give it up again for the President of the United States, President Joe Biden. And that will conclude our 90th winter meeting. Get home safely.